I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. When Kansas City, Kansas Mayor Joe Reardon announced he wasn't running for re-election, five candidates threw their hats into the ring. This hour, we'll talk with all five about their plans for Wyandotte County, which has seen a mixture of successful development in the West and economic decline for some residents in the East. We'll also talk about their previous experience in public service and their thoughts on the challenges facing the unified government. We'll get you up to date following this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. With Wyandotte County Mayor and CEO Joe Reardon not seeking re-election, five candidates have emerged to replace him. They're vying for two slots coming out of the February 26 primary for the right to advance to the general election on April 2nd. Whoever wins becomes one of the most visible public officials in the Kansas City Metro and a leader of a county riding high on the successes of the Kansas Speedway and a giant spurt of nearby development. But that same leader faces enormous challenges in trying to revitalize much of eastern Wyandotte, an area hard hit by poverty and decaying housing. Today, an in-house debate among the five, who are packed tightly around our table this morning. The five are Nathan Barnes, who served in city and Wyandotte County government since the mid-1990s. He's the first district commissioner representing the northeast corner of the county. Nathan, nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Mark Holland is also here. He's pastor, senior pastor of Trinity United Methodist Church and one of the county's two at-large commissioners. Mark, nice to have you, too.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Cordell Meeks chairs the Unified Government's Human Relations Commission. He's CEO of Meeks Multicultural Consulting, a corporate training business. Cordell,
good morning, Steve.
Anne Bergia is a District 3 commissioner representing the southeast portion of the county. She's executive director of the Argentine Neighborhood Development Association. Anne, nice to have you.
Good morning, Steve. It's good to be here.
Janice Witt is a community activist and a lifelong resident of Wyandotte County. She has a pair of master's degrees from UMKC. Janice, good morning.
Hi, Steve.
There's a cardinal rule in public radio talk shows, which is never have more than three guests because the audience can't keep track of the voices. Today we've got five, so I'm going to try to make sure that each of you are identified each time you speak. I'll try not to be too obnoxious about it, but we felt this election is too important not to broadcast this debate. So let's get started. Wyandotte County is a tale of two cities these days, the sterling western part of the county and the decaying inner city. So is the glass half full or half empty in Wyandotte County these days? Nathan Barnes, what do you think?
Well, I've always been of the opinion that it's half full.
Yeah.
Because we have a great opportunity afforded to us, and we do have some connectivity to the success in the western portion of our community. The more successful they are, the more successful we should be on the eastern portion of our community, and we have some connectivity there to make certain that happens through programs that we've implemented over the years.
Cordell Meeks, half full, half empty. What do you see?
Definitely half full. With the arrival of Google and Cerner, they're showing that Wyandotte County is the place to be. They're showing the world, really. And there's been a lot of talk about balance, and that's what we really need to work towards in the eastern part. But, you know, I've got some new, fresh ideas about how to really accomplish that, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that really deals with encouraging small business owners, entrepreneurs to come into the urban core, the northeastern part of the city. We can build lofts like you've done over here in Kansas City, Missouri. We can expand our farmers market. We can put new apartment complexes there. There's a wide array of things that we can do to make that balance because we're going to have both western part of the county and eastern part in order for our city to be completely successful.
Anne Bergia, I'm wondering how anyone can view the county as half full these days. I just drove through Wyandotte again last week, just drove through the eastern part of the county. Boy, there's some tough-looking neighborhoods over there, neighborhoods that need so much help. You know a whole lot about this. So what do you think? Is Wyandotte County a tale of an area that's half full or half empty these days?
Oh, I absolutely agree with Commissioner Barnes and Cordell that Absolutely. I think it's half full. We have a lot of positive things going on in Wyandotte County. However, Steve, what you're saying is absolutely true. The Midtown area and the neighborhoods east of 635 have really struggled. Specifically, we have seen in Wyandotte County a rapid reduction in our tax base in the Midtown and downtown and northeast area of our community over the past 10, 12 years. It's very concerning.
You know, Mark Holland, I have a theory, a thesis about Wyandotte County these days, that the next mayor can't fix the blight and the challenge that faces the eastern part of the county. You can't fix it in 4 years and maybe not in 8 years. Am I right about that?
You're absolutely right that it's taken a generation for our county to struggle in the way that it has in some of the areas. And my belief is it's going to take a generation for it to be completely turned around. But that gives us a sense of urgency that we need to start right now with the redevelopment of the infrastructure, the redevelopment of the housing and the businesses. If we don't start this year, then instead of taking 30 years, it's going to take 31 years. And I think we've already taken great steps in the last 6 years to seed some of that development and the success in the West. We've opened 4 new grocery stores in Kansas City, Kansas. That kind of which are the first 4 in 30 years. And I think that kind of success we're starting to see grow around those projects, because if we can strategically seed success in the eastern part of the community like we've already been doing, then it has a chance for the private sector to take over and to really make an impact.
Janice Witt, you've been living in Wyandotte County your entire life. Tell the listeners out there that you can turn this thing around in 4 years. Can you?
It's impossible to turn around in 4 years.
Yeah.
What you can do, however, is to involve the people in the community in regenerating this community.
And that's not happening right now?
Absolutely not. The key is to go back to your question of half full or half empty. It's neither half full or half empty. The glass is always full. The question is, what of and who does it benefit?
Mm-hmm.
That's the major concern for the actual citizens in Wyandotte County. There are always the haves and the have-nots. We'll never be rid of that circumstance. But we need to be able to spread the generous amount of positive atmosphere that there is at the Legends area throughout the entire county. My concern is not what we're going to do. We have to build. In order to build, we have to have a solid foundation. In order to have that foundation, we have to be clear on what got us where we are. And what got us where we are, not to be accusatory, but are the people who are sitting around this table at this panel. They have all participated fully in bringing the citizenry to the point where we are now. You know, Nathan mentioned during our interview with KCPT that he is the blueprint of getting us to right here, right now. I don't see that as a positive thing. You know, and we say that, and Ann is concerned about those sidewalks and those curbs, but she's been 6 years in her community and there has been no grocery store. People are concerned. I am in those areas every single day, every single weekend, and people have been concerned about groceries there for 6 years.
Nathan Barnes, if I'm hearing Janice Witt right, she's saying you're part of the problem.
I'm saying they all are.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, first of all, she said it can't be fixed in 4 years. Impossible. That's what she said. What we have is a $1 billion problem in the urban core, and we have about $2 or $3 billion dedicated to fixing that problem. So what you have to do is be real about what the situation is. It didn't happen overnight.
Well, I lost you there. You have a $1 billion problem. You have $2 or $3 billion sitting around waiting to fix it?
Absolutely.
Where's that money?
Well, that's exactly. We have about $2 or $3 million a year through Community Development Block Grant that we utilize to address that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And when you understand government and how it works, then you go forward and not talk about what's not happening, because we all are aware of what's not happening, and we should be aware of how it came about. And it didn't come about in 2 years. It didn't come about in 10 years. This is a 25, 30-year problem that's been in place. And when I came to office, we had a $1 billion problem then. So right now, we've been working on it, but we can look at the things that we've done correctly to address those situations. And we have much to show for it. We've addressed the grocery stores through innovation and creativity. We have now a virtual grocery store that is up and operating right now. And so we can talk about what's wrong with Wyandotte County. And I think what really destroys us as a community when we talk about so much about what's wrong and we don't talk about what's right.
Amber Gia, Janice Witt again saying you're part of the problem too. There's 3 of the 5 of you are serving as active commissioners these days on the Unified Government Board. What about it?
Well, I'd say that, you know, Janice is entitled to her opinion. I would disagree. I think my experience and my results in within my district speak for themselves. We have put in millions of dollars worth of curb and sidewalk.
In Argentine, you're talking about.
In my district.
Which is Southeast Wyandotte County.
Which encompasses Argentine and the Rosedale community. My district in general has seen more economic development than all the other urban core neighborhoods east of 635 combined. Just in the past 6 years that I've been in office. We have a $60 million redevelopment project on Rainbow Boulevard.
By you know, KU Med you're talking about.
Right, on Rainbow Boulevard, on right across the street from KU Med. We've done some really amazing projects. On February 21st, we're going to be moving dirt on a brand new grocery store at 2100 Metropolitan. So I think we've
so you're
done,
saying you're doing stuff.
Absolutely. And if you want to look at the long-term sustainable impact of that, if you just simply look at the census data, when I took office, our median income was $24,000 a year. And through the millions of dollars worth of new housing stock that we've also built, and through all these other economic development opportunities that have been created, I think what we've had a significant impact on the income, the median income, which is currently $36,000 a year.
And Mark Holland, I want you to weigh in on this as well. Again, you're a sitting commissioner. Then I want to have Cordell Meeks weigh in as an outsider looking at all this. Again, Janice Witt saying that you're part of the problem here, that not enough happening. There's insiders and outsiders, and you're part of the status quo now.
Right. 6 years ago when I ran for office, I'd never been in political office and no one in my family ever had. I was just concerned about our community as a father and as a leader in my school and as a pastor in the community. I wanted to see more for our community than what was happening. So 6 years ago, I ran a grassroots campaign to try to get some things involved in the city that I felt like weren't happening. I was successful in that first election, ran countywide again 4 years ago or 2 years ago for reelection. And really, came in as a political outsider myself, and have become have been honored to have the support now in the political arena. The issue is, though, it's about strategic development. We've had such success out west, but we've also invested in 78th and State. We've invested in 39th and Rainbow. We've invested at 18th and I-70. We've invested at 55th and Leavenworth Road. The next two most important strategic investments that we need to make, I believe, are downtown, in our downtown, and in Indian Springs. The Indian Springs at I-635 and I-70 is an eyesore. We're emptying it out so we can push it over and redevelop that area. That strategic development is huge for our midtown area. The downtown is critical for the Northeast. It's all of our downtown.
Yeah.
And so these next two strategic implementations are exactly where we're headed, and we need to continue to take the fruit of the Western Wyandotte development that's been so successful and continue to plant it around our community for the success of all of our citizens.
You know, Cordell Meeks, you're the other outsider in this campaign for mayor, and I'm wondering, you obviously think an outsider's perspective is needed. Why is that, and why is it time for a fresh new voice in Wyandotte County to lead this community, and why isn't an insider who has the experience the right kind of person to do the job?
Great question, Steve. You know, I wear that political outsider, community insider, like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
And so coming in with new, fresh ideas is something that I'm willing and ready to do. I'm capable of doing it. I'm a small business owner. I'm used to starting businesses and attracting companies to the area. But first thing on the agenda as a political outsider would be to work with our unified commissioners to lower property taxes. I've lived in this city my entire life, lifelong resident, and I haven't seen the taxes go down any. So that's something that I know that every single citizen will appreciate. Now, as a community insider, there are thousands of people across the city, Steve, that know about the two decades of service, public service that I've given to the community, served on various boards. One of the first appointments that Mayor Reardon made was to make me chairman of the Human Relations Commission. So I've always had an eye on the community and what's best for the entire community. That coupled with the fact that I specialize in the ability to bring people together is something that I think puts me ahead of the other candidates in terms of the ability to take people with differences in opinion, to really embrace diversity as a strength rather than have it work against the city.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR, and you're listening to a live in-house debate among the five candidates for mayor and CEO of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County. Those candidates, Nathan Barnes, Mark Holland, Cordell Meeks, Ann Merguia, and Janice Witt. You know, Nathan Barnes, we just heard something interesting here from Cordell Meeks talking about high property taxes in the county. You hear that complaint a whole lot as you drive through Wyandotte. And we're also talking about the decaying inner city. I'm wondering, as the next mayor, which one are you going to tackle first, both huge pressing needs that the next mayor will have to address?
We can do both simultaneously.
Do you have money to do both?
I do believe right now, when it comes to lowering of the property taxes, as an outsider, the first thing you don't know, you don't realize all of the intricate details involved with that process. I want to say this up front. The voters are faced with two decisions here. You can vote for an experiment. That's somebody with little or no experience. When we are on the threshold of greatness in Wyandotte County, you can invest your vote in someone with little or no experience when we are on that threshold. Or you can vote for somebody that has the experience, that knows what we need to do in order to move us forward.
Okay, so which one are you going to do first, though, Nathan? What I want to know is high property taxes or fix up the inner city.
I can automatically lower the property taxes just by one meeting, making one decision. And we can do that.
But you don't have the money to do that.
Yes, we do. We have the money on the table. Right now, we farm out $3 million a year average of prisoners go to other counties outside of Wyandotte County, outside of the state of Kansas even. If we were to restructure that process, the money we save, we could actually open up a minimum security facility to house some of our prisoners that don't deserve to be in a maximum security facility.
So you're saying you can do both?
I can do both.
Amber Gia, just from our conversations, I know you've struggled with this question too, this notion of high property taxes and then also addressing the needs of the inner city. As mayor, how are you going to tackle both those concerns?
Well, first of all, I want to comment in regard to property taxes. I am currently the only elected official running for mayor that has never voted for a property tax increase in Wyandotte County. And I think that should say a lot about the kind of politician that I am. I promised not to do that when I was running for office, and I didn't do that when I got into office. So I feel very strongly about that, and I think that obviously this windfall of money that everybody continues to talk about should be used to reduce property taxes. I think that's very important. Over the last 8 years, the property tax in Wyandotte County has been raised by $7 million. To me, that's ridiculous, and that is absolutely an impediment to what we're trying to do in the way of economic development.
So task one for you is to lower those property taxes.
Absolutely.
And what money do you have at your disposal to do that?
Well, I think what we need to do first is prioritize what the people of our county want to see happen in their county and not try to be everything to everybody. Right now, that's what I see us doing.
Mark Holland, two big questions on the table. You have high property taxes. You have decaying inner city blight in Kansas City, Kansas. What are you going to do about it? Which one do you tackle first?
Well, I think they're interrelated, and I think it's very important that we look at what the citizens wanted. A few years ago, the citizens of Wyandotte County voted over 70% for a sales tax increase to fund police and fire and infrastructure. These are the priorities. And when we had a recession, the nationwide recession, the worst in a century, we did all kinds of austerity measures to cut back on spending. We reduced our overall employment by 15%, but we protected police and fire. And we came down with a shortfall in 2011 with police and fire jobs on the line. The $7 million deficit that Commissioner Murguia just spoke of, she voted against keeping those jobs on the street. And I refuse to vote against police and fire. We have a 30-year reduction in crime in Kansas City, Kansas. You can't do anything in the inner city or out west with a high crime rate. We have a 30-year reduction in crime, and I refuse to vote against the jobs to take boots off the street. So the taxes are still lower than they were prior to the recession. So the taxes are lower, and it's not as low as any of us want,
and
but
going
you have
forward,
to prioritize.
And going forward, you would do what? Lower property taxes or address inner city blight?
I would, number one, we have the property taxes is a process that takes time. And so we have the star bonds being paid off in 4 years, $12 to $15 million in income. The top priority for that has to take a significant chunk out of our property taxes. And I think we also need to invest a significant portion of that in infrastructure. The key that I've said is we don't make 30-year decisions on crime cuts in a three-year budget recession. But I'm also, when I'm up there, you know, in terms of being a commissioner, I'm not spending my time running for my next office. I'm spending my time running the city. And those are the kind of decisions that take courageous leadership moving forward.
Janice, I'm coming to you in just a second, but I want to get back to Amber Gia. Commissioner Holland just said that you voted against keeping police and firemen employed in Wyandotte County. Why don't you respond to that?
Thank you very much, Steve. That's not true at all. In fact, I was endorsed by our local fire union before the filing deadline even closed. I have great support from
for public safety.
Mm-hmm. And I have great support from public safety. My decision to vote against property taxes was simply that, to vote against a property tax increase. What concerns me about Mark's vision for our city is exactly what he said. In his mind, the only choices were to take public safety off the street or raise our taxes. I think there's a lot of other options. Like I said before, we as a government should not try to be everything to everybody. We should be working for the people of the city and what they value and what they find important.
Nathan Barnes, if I heard Commissioner Holland correctly, you voted with Mark Holland on the question of raising property taxes to fully fund police and fire. Why did you vote that way?
Well, it wasn't just police and fire. We had a decision to lay some people off. And up front, we, as a commission, we agreed that we were not going to lay anybody off, whether they were police and fire. And I think it's unfair to our other unions that do great work in our community.
So you raised taxes on the entire population of Wyandotte County?
Absolutely not. What we did was we kept taxes at a level, because the property values had dropped.
That's right.
The property values had dropped, and so we wanted to continue with the same stream of income that we had coming in from the city, so we kept it at that level. But this Wyandotte County taxes is not just Wyandotte County. We only represent 48% of your tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
There are other entities out there that takes money out of your tax dollars. And so we addressed the 48% that we controlled. And so we did that to keep our employees employed and rather than laying them off. And we can make the issue about police and fire, but it wasn't just about police and fire. It was those other individuals that are working in each and every department at City Hall. We had the concerns of keeping our employees on employed rather than laying people off. That was the choice. Employ them or lay them off.
Mark, very quickly.
That's very important. The difference when you have a valuation drop, a huge valuation drop in your city, and you make a modest property, a mill levy increase to keep from laying off public safety, that when your taxes are still going down, that's not a tax increase. And we need to be very clear with our citizens that we did not raise the taxes. We simply captured some of the loss from the valuation that cities were seeing across the nation.
Gotcha, Ann.
So in essence, we charged the people of our county more money for property that was worth less. That is ridiculous.
That is
Janice,
exactly
go ahead.
Right.
I haven't had you. Your turn.
There is a
Janice,
very – first of all, we have to deal with reality and not Jedi mind tricks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that something is – you know, I'm looking at you now telling you the door will open. Well, the door is closed, dude, and if you walk through it, you're going to bust your nose on it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, if you vote for a pilot or you vote for an increase in levy – you still nonetheless voted for a tax.
So what are you going to do as mayor, Janice, when it comes to these priorities of high property taxes or dealing with the inner city? What's your priority going forward?
Right now, there is nothing we can do about these high property taxes except find our way to battle to survival and get some businesses in here to lower that revenue.
And so what does that mean? What do you do?
We open the door to regular businesses, regular small businesses. Hopefully they can come in and move into the Northeast. No, it is not. We've got corporations that can come in out at the Legends area, and they are handed the baby, the bathwater, and a straw to drink it. Regular businesses, I can name some. You've got Ussery. You've got John Swanson over there doing business. You've got China Buffet. You've got all these regular small businesses that have been in Wyandotte County who have stuck by us for 20, 25, 30 years.
And they get no benefit.
First of all, they're paying 4.4% commercial property tax in Wyandotte County. The state average is 2.2%.
So you would lower that?
I would hit the businesses immediately. Our businesses that are standing by our community, definitely. Their property tax, their commercial property tax, needs to be at a rate that another business from across the state line or wherever can come in and have a vibe. We are not We are not competing
with them.
That's priority
one for Janice Witt. That's your priority.
No, my priority is customer service. Customer service for the average citizen in Wyandotte County.
When somebody calls, you want them to get an answer.
I want them to get an answer, and I want them to be treated fairly, and I don't want them to be treated rudely on the phone, because when they are, they walk away with a nasty, sour disposition.
Cordell Meeks, it's your turn here. What do you do first? Deal with high property taxes? Do you deal with the decaying inner city? What do you do?
Well, I think you continue to work on both those. Now, with lowering property taxes, we can do that right now. And to keep those taxes low, we have to maintain balanced budgets. That's another area as a small business owner that I'm
experiencing. How do you do both? The county's stretched financially. How do you do both?
Well, I think that what we're doing is we're leveraging, as I said, the arrival of Google and Cerner to show businesses that this is a place, a great place to grow your business. And Google has wonderful programs in terms of giving entrepreneurs an opportunity to start their business here. The fiber optics are going to allow people to communicate even faster, get information faster. But there's one area that I think that the other candidates haven't touched on, and it's a passion for me, Steve, and that's education. Now, every person in the city that has a child will tell you that two things. They want their child to be able to have a great education, and they know that with that more doors are going to be open for them. Mm-hmm. So I have some new, fresh ideas. Everybody likes the idea of tax incentives for the businesses that are coming here, but we want to get the best return for our investment, Steve. So how about this? Why don't we require these businesses to require their employees to volunteer a certain amount of time each month in our school district.
Mandatory voluntary service you're talking
about.
That's
correct. With mentoring programs, with job tutoring, with tutoring to youth in our school district, career counseling, all of those things are going to prepare our citizens to be competitive, to have these jobs that we're creating. And it starts early. You know, I taught in the school district, Steve. I was in the trenches with young people, and I understand the importance of receiving a good education.
And again, just so I'm being clear, you're saying that every business in Wyandotte County would be required under your administration to donate hours of their workforce each week to the schools of Kansas City, Kansas.
I'm saying that would be a great partnership to start to create.
Being
able to volunteer in the school district, social service agencies, having that partnership so that we really feel like we're getting a good return for our investment with the businesses that are coming here.
And again, your focus as the new mayor would be lowering property taxes. Would it be working on the inner city, or are you talking about an education platform as the first thing you want to do?
I think education is connected to everything else, but when we talk about continuing the growth out in the western part and the eastern part of the city, I still want to talk about infrastructure because it's important to attract new families, businesses to our city. We have to continue to build new sidewalks and streets. We have to continue to make it affordable for families and businesses to come here to our city.
Okay, it's time for a break here on Up to Date. If you have a question you want to ask to all of our candidates, we'd like to hear it. You can give us a call at 816-235-2888 or drop us an email to uptodate@kcur.org or tweet us at @KCURUpToDate. In the second half of our debate, we'll turn to that $12 to $15 million windfall and a whole lot of other topics. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed Friday's conversation with former Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson, who was the deciding vote on national health care reform, or our discussion about the music of World War I, you can find those in all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. On tomorrow's program, we'll talk about how George Washington reconciled owning slaves with his own beliefs, and we'll check in on some new developments in blood donation. This hour, we're having an in-house debate among the five candidates for CEO and mayor of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County. Those candidates are Nathan Barnes, Mark Holland, Cordell Meeks, Amber Gia, and Janice Witt. If you want to join our conversation, again, our number 816-235-2888, our email address uptodate@kcur.org. Let's move to the whole question of the windfall, Amber Gia. Just three and a half years from now, the county will begin to reap a financial windfall as a result of all the development out in the western part of the county. That windfall will total, as I said, $12-15 million. What will you do? What will you use that money with as you envision your mayorship going forward?
Well, my assumption is that the number one area of concern for all of Wyandotte County is our crippling high property tax rate that I've been talking about since the beginning of this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
However, I also think it's going to be important to get down to a grassroots level with the people in Wyandotte County to determine what their priorities are. You know, I'm proposing that we do a countywide survey, but we break it up by district to help us determine what the priorities are in the different areas of our city. You know, as you know, Steve, our city is very diverse. You know, east of 635, as we've talked about a lot today, is very different than what's going on out west of 635. So by allowing the people in those areas to decide what their priorities are and using those priorities to set our budget and to determine how we're going to spend this windfall of money, I think is really the best plan moving forward.
Cordell Meeks, what do you do with that 12 to 15 million bucks?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to make sure that we're cautious as we move forward, because we know we're going to get hit by state cuts. We know they're coming. We don't know exactly what that will look like, but we're going to have to do more with less. So with that surplus, again, infrastructure is going to be key. Also, public safety. Now, we have a $280 million budget. Just less than half of that is spent on public safety. But, you know, there's a way to have that pay for itself. And that really is, as we continue the economic development, the job growth in the city, that's going to mean that we're growing, and all cities that are growing are going to need to put more police officers there to protect their citizens.
Do you need more police officers in Wyandotte County?
Well, you know, I've sat on the Law Enforcement Advisory Board for the last 7 years, and I've worked with the last three police chiefs of Kansas City, Kansas. And, yes, I do believe that we need to increase the law enforcement presence there. And it's a big reason why we've been so successful over the last, really, 10 years to have such low crime rates in our county.
I was going to say, but crime rates are dropping. Why not reduce the number of police officers you have? Save yourself some money.
Well, because as we grow, Steve, we're going to need more police officers to protect our citizens. More businesses are coming here. More families are coming here to live and raise their families and go to our school districts here. As part of that, we're going to need to be able to protect our citizens. Part of that means funding of police officers and firefighters.
Janice, what do you do with that 12 to 15 million bucks a year?
Well, first of all, we make sure that we have it. Right now, we should have had it this year. But instead, that money was reinvested, as we hear all of our sitting commissioners, or excuse me, Ann, may not be quite on that path, but they're talking about reinvesting. So if they're talking about reinvesting, they're looking at taking that same star bond windfall that we were expecting to come in this year. They're going to reinvest that, and we're going to be setting up looking stupid again, trying to figure out why our taxes are continuing to go up. What my goal is to once again completely involve the people, the citizens of Wyandotte County in the conversation.
But a lot of citizens don't want to be involved
that
in government.
That is not true. In Wyandotte County, they want to be involved. They've been closed out. The problem is
They being like, what percentage of the population really wants to take part in this? 5%? 25%?
No, I think all of them do. They were made promises. Let's be honest. They were made promises here in the last, especially the last 4 years. There was going to be a TV station, which we were taxed to build to have this television station that was going to give us all access to everything that went on. We were going to have access to all of the meetings. It would be fully transparent. Unfortunately, that did not happen. What we need in Wyandotte County is honesty. We need honesty with the citizens and transparency of what is actually happening inside of the city. Yes, that money, when it comes in, if it comes in, will definitely go to reduce taxes. It will also go to bring in other businesses, small businesses that you hear everybody talking about,
mm-hmm.
that are not here. They're not here. This is all Jedi wishing. But the fact is, we need to give them something to come to. The education system, nobody moves to Wyandotte County for the education system. Let's be honest, that is a total fallacy. But our politicians will stand up and say anything to us to get elected.
Mark Collin, the next mayor has a nice problem to have, which is this windfall of 12 to 15 million bucks that you've already mentioned during the course of our hour. Your priority for using that money would be what?
Reducing property taxes. I think we've already articulated that we have a once-in-a-generation opportunity to take a significant chunk out of that. But property taxes are only a piece of our income. And for any of the sitting commissioners to sit up here and say we didn't vote for a sewer fund, we didn't vote for a stormwater fee, which was instituted when Ann McGee and I came on, didn't vote for pilot increases, the payment in lieu of taxes for the BPU bill, Ann McGee has voted for all of those things. So she's been able to say she didn't vote for a property tax increase, but that's only part of the story. But property taxes are the most significant challenge that we have, and we need to take a chunk out of those with this new revenue. And that revenue is going to move us forward in terms of making us more competitive, because that money is coming from economic growth, and we've got to keep our focus on economic growth and on jobs. And we've brought 6,000 new jobs here in the last 6 years, and we need to make sure that those jobs continue to come in and we continue to get our citizens in those jobs.
Again, Ann McGee, you've been – he's addressed your voting record. What about it?
I think
that's
accurate.
You voted for some taxes and fees, not just outside of the property tax.
Yes, I that's accurate. I have voted for taxes that involve very specific fees for a very specific service that we are going to provide. I also would tell you that I do stand by my position to not raise property taxes. You know, it's interesting during election time how everybody says they're going to lower your property taxes. But when push comes to shove, they raise your property taxes. I'll just say again, I'm the only candidate that sits here today that has that promised not to raise your taxes and followed through with that. We need a mayor with a bigger vision than two options, you know, lay off people or raise your property taxes. We need a mayor that's going to look bigger and broader and have more creative ideas to address those kind of financial hardships.
But and you did vote to raise the levy and the pilot. That is still a tax, regardless when we
and
get
you're
done,
saying you wouldn't have done that, Janice, would?
No, I'm saying that you can't claim now that you didn't do it.
Well, she's saying
because
she did.
It's a different name. Mm-hmm. So even if you want to say I didn't raise property taxes, the people in Wyandotte County are not dumb. They might not get it, but we're going to explain it because we're great community people. A pilot and a levy are still nonetheless a tax. So you can't say that you did not vote for a tax increase.
And again, she said very clearly she did. Okay, we're all clear on that? Okay, Nathan Barnes, your turn. $12 to $15 million windfall, what do you do with it?
Well, first of all, we've heard about this thing at the national level, the cliff. Well, we have that same thing on the local level. We have millions and millions of dollars of unfunded capital improvement projects right now that we have on the books lined up. And again, I don't say it jokingly, don't spend it before you get it. We know that it's coming, and we will get it. But the way we have balanced our budget in the past, there are projects that we have just pushed off for several years. And so right now, I'm dealing with this as if there is no windfall. And not saying that it's not coming, it is coming, but we have to handle it as if we don't have the money.
Is there a chance that Cordell Meeks is correct about this, Nathan, that with changes in the Brownback administration in Topeka, that some of this money might get chewed up through the state taking a bigger chunk going forward?
Well, that's what the state do. They take money every year. So it's not just,
that's
nothing
happens.
New.
That's
it happens every year. Even without the state taking away dollars, we have projects on the book right now that are unfunded. We need new police cars that we pushed off another year that we didn't buy. We need fleet in our fleet. We need to replace vehicles in our fleet that we haven't funded.
Should the state of Kansas be helping you out more than it is?
Oh, that's a joke there. Yeah, they should be helping us out. But, you know, we don't look for help from them. In fact, we look for harm from them. We look to be harmed as a result of the decision they're making. But it's just not the state. We have the federal that's coming down with unfunded mandates also. So when you talk about, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you know, without that type of experience, knowing where all of these different negatives are going to come from, they're going to come. And we're going to have to deal with it. And that's why I treat this windfall, it's almost hurt me to say it. You call it a windfall because I know right now what budgets we've wrestled with in the past, and I know of the unfunded things that we have on the table right now that we need funding for. And that's not going to – the only way we have balanced the budget in the past is to push those projects out. Sooner or later, we're not going to be able to push anymore. They're going to fall off the cliff, and they're going to hit us right dead on the head.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to an in-house debate among the five candidates for mayor, CEO of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County. Our phone number, 816-235-2888. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. Let's go to some phone calls here. And Oscar from Wyandotte County, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Well, thanks, Oscar.
Hey, I pretty much just wanted to ask your panel, what about Senator David Haley and his proposition for a medical marijuana in Kansas City, Kansas, and how that would help you guys raise taxes? And pretty much, you know, since all these other states around us are legalizing it, it's pretty much just going to raise or saturate the black market already here in Kansas. And, you know, and all these things lead to more arrest and all, and you know,
right.
For the county.
So your question is about legalizing marijuana as a source of tax income, right?
Yes, and especially for Kansas City, Kansas,
right.
And Wyandotte, since they don't have very many industries.
Gotcha.
And
Let me get it. Janice, what do you think? You going to legalize marijuana?
Sorry, I have to chuckle.
You can do that.
I have to laugh.
Yeah.
Legalize marijuana.
She's chuckling, people.
Thanks, Nathan. I don't know. We need a chuckle button. I really don't know.
Does anybody here want to legalize marijuana as a new source of income for Wyandotte County government?
I don't think that's a local
Nathan
issue.
Barnes.
I don't think that's a local issue anyway. I think it's at the state level. It starts there at the state level. When it comes down, we'll deal with it. It's not laughable, but other states are dealing with it, and it's popping up. But I just think that when it comes to government, morality has to be a part of that. And so I would look at it from the moral standpoint of how we deal with that
and
issue.
And marijuana is immoral in your view?
If they use it for medical purposes, that's why we have to look at it. So it has to be clearly defined. But right now, that's an issue that I don't have to deal with. It comes down from the state, and I'll deal with it when it comes down.
Mark Holland.
The problem with the marijuana issue is for someone's recreational use or for someone's medical use, it's our kids in our urban areas that are dying to transfer it. And that's why we need not only targeted police programs to keep police on the street, but we also need educational programs and economic opportunity, because kids that have an education and have a job opportunity coming out are less interested in the drug trade and they're more interested in moving forward with their lives.
Okay, let's go back to some calls here. Anne from Kansas City, Kansas. Anne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my call. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask, well, first of all, I wanted to remind you that yesterday in your paper, you had a really good article
yes.
about the correlation between the free and reduced lunch and the readiness for school.
Right.
Okay. Well, I live in eastern Wyandotte County. I teach in Wyandotte County. And with all of this windfall of money that we're all wringing our hands trying to figure out what to do with, if we're going to be competitive with other districts in the state of Kansas, why haven't we had the conversation yet about mandatory preschool?
Mandatory preschool, Cordell Meech, you've talked about education here this morning already.
We have to have that discussion. When I talk about the importance of education, it starts at the preschool level. And at each level, we have to be able to attract top teachers. The curriculum itself has to be more multicultural because what we were teaching, you know, the same level of thinking that we've had for the last 20 years is not the same level that we'll have to make us successful 20 years from
mm-hmm.
now. So we have to be proactive about this matter, and that's why I'm so passionate about education. I've spent time with young people. I'm a life coach as well as a board member of the Boys and Girls Club. I've mentored with El Centro as far back as in my high school days. And again, going to Sumner Academy, it really gave me an opportunity to receive a top-notch education, and it's something I think we can model so that the other school districts can get up to that level.
So mandatory preschool is something that's important to you?
Most definitely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Nathan Barnes?
I agree 100%. And we one of the things that I plan to do is that to have regular meetings with every taxing entity in Wyandotte County. We need to have more connectivity between ourselves. For the first time in my 18-year history, Dr. Cindy came over and spoke with the commission, and she wanted us to partner with internships. We have that program already. I have been an advocate for Crystal Ray for many years, where they put the kids inside internships and so forth. And I think that exposure to successful individuals is what kids need to see, that I can be successful also. I can see, feel, and touch somebody that's been there, done that, that looks just like me, that come from a background just like myself.
Mandatory preschool, Amber Gia?
Absolutely. I'm in favor of mandatory preschool. I think
should the unified government finance that?
I'm not sure that the unified government should be financing a preschool program, but I definitely think it's worth consideration. And if I'm chosen as to be the next mayor, I obviously would begin those kinds of discussions with Dr. Lane. I think it's an important topic. I think it's very important to getting our students prepared academically to take some of these jobs that we're growing out in Western Wyandotte County, right here in our own county.
Why not take the windfall and put it towards mandatory preschool, which would change the image of the county in some ways if you were to go in that direction?
I think that could be potentially a very good idea, except that I'll go back to what I've said from the beginning. I think what the people of Wyandotte County want to see that windfall go to is to the reduction of property taxes. I think that is their priority.
That's the priority.
And as an elected official, I will tell you, I feel very strongly about this, that when you're an elected official, you work for the people, and that's what your job is.
Mark Holland.
Preschool, early childhood education is a federal and state issue largely, and our current governor is taking money away from early childhood education and shipping it into a third grade reading program. It's taking money from one thing to another. The best thing we can do for our citizens and for our school district is to actively lobby the current administration to stop gutting funding at the state level for our schools and for our preschools. We need to partner with our school district in that lobbying effort, and we need to stand up strongly against Governor Brownback and his freewheeling cuts against everything that we value in our community.
Okay, Janice.
Definitely. Preschool is it should be of number one importance to anyone who has a concern for the education of our students. We have 13-year-olds who can't write cursive, who can't read, who don't know how to use a dictionary. I, too, taught in District 500. And I will say that there is one thing for certain, and that is that our children are leaving school unprepared. They are leaving left behind. So would I agree to fund a preschool program? No, I would not, because the money is not there. And I am not going to sit here and make promises that we don't have the ability to fulfill. But am I behind it? Yes. And if I can find a way to reach some other way to pay for that, then yes, we would definitely do that.
And Steve, if I can just say one more thing. I'm so passionate about this issue. I just want to also say that
Cordell Meeks. Yeah.
Yeah, Cordell Meeks. As we're preparing our students throughout school, we still have way too many students that aren't being able to graduate, that are coming out of school without the ability to read or write. And I want them to be competitive for the high-wage paying jobs. Now, many of the commissioners have spoken about the many jobs that we've brought to the city, but those are low-paying jobs.
You'd get this preschool program how, Cordell?
Well, what I'm saying is we need to be having that discussion as a community. Mm-hmm. So if there's a way that we can assist and add to what the state funding is, but our school district is still recovering from the cuts that were made 4 or 5 years ago, and now we're going to have even more cuts coming down the line. Now, I've met with every single one of our school superintendents. I've met with school board members, and this is something that we have to all be on the same page with and work collectively as a community together for.
Nathan,
quickly. I just want to make a correction. Through our developers agreement with the companies that have come into Wyandotte County, they are not low-paying jobs. The operations part of it requires that they do hire Wyandotte Countyans at all level.
All right. Again, you're listening to an in-house debate among the candidates for mayor, CEO of Wyandotte County. Just a few minutes left. You know, almost everybody I talk to credits the turnaround in Wyandotte County to two people, Carol Marinovich and Joe Reardon, the county's last two mayors. Both have endorsed Mark Holland, and they did so at a big news conference just the other day. So why don't those endorsements sort of end this debate, Nathan Barnes? If those two are for him, why aren't the rest of you?
Well, both of them are not running for a reason. And Carol didn't seek a third term. Neither does Joe Reardon seek a third term. And so that might have been good.
But why isn't their endorsement good enough for you?
Because, I was there. I'm going to tell you, Steve, it really upsets me, too, is that being there through both administrations, I was a part of that process.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a one-man decision or a one-woman decision.
They didn't pick you, though.
Let me finish. There were 10 other elected officials that saw the process of the legends and saw the process of the racetrack that participated. And some of them actually lost their positions because of making that decision.
Okay.
And when it came down to taking people's houses, there were some people in certain districts that actually lost their houses, lost their positions because of that. So it's not a one-man take-all process. There should be a shared process of success that says everybody that was on that team that made certain that the racetrack came here should get equal credit for that.
But they didn't pick you.
I'm not concerned whether or not they picked me or not. And it's not for them to pick me because I can't, and it's not for me. You know what? This is what I'm going to do through this process. I'm going to talk about the attributes of Nathan Moins, and I'm not going to put anybody else down in the process to make me look good. And if you notice through this, I have not said anything that I disagree with Ann McGee on or Commissioner Holland on.
Right.
I'm not going to step on them to lift me up.
Janice, why isn't the endorsements from Marinovich and Joe Reardon enough for you?
Because everybody doesn't see Marinovich and Joe Reardon's legacy as a win. There was
who doesn't see it as a win?
The regular citizens of this county.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of them, and many who have left this county based upon the legacy that you're discussing, which is Joe and Carol. Legends, bankrupt, EPA, gone, Cerner, free everything. Great Wolf Lodge, free everything. BPU, corruption all over this county. I'm not being negative, but if you're going to run on more of the same, then we have to define what does the same mean how does it affect the actual taxpaying citizens of this county.
Why aren't those endorsements enough for you?
I just have a different style of leadership than Carol Marinovich or Joe Reardon or Mark Holland. Well, I think Carol had some great successes out west, and I think she did some really amazing things. But I think that she did that in a way that wasn't necessarily inclusive of all the people in Wyandotte County. It's very important to me to include all of the people in Wyandotte County in our decision making. At least, Steve, those people that want to be included.
You know, a lot of folks might have, if you had a vote about the Kansas Speedway, whenever that Speedway came online, a lot of voters in Wyandotte County would have said, no way, too big of a gamble. And yet, leadership brought that racetrack to the county, and a lot of folks said that was exactly the right thing to do.
Except, Steve, I would tell you that I still believe very strongly that the majority of people in Wyandotte County thought that that Speedway was a great idea. You obviously heard from a large number of people that lived in that area that didn't want their situation or their home situation to change. But I would still tell you that I believe that the majority of people supported Carol Marinovich's move to bring the Kansas
Steve,
Speedway to me.
This is Janice Witt.
Let me give Cordell a final word here.
Yeah, we're talking about endorsements here. And, you know, Joe Reardon is a close friend of mine, Marinovich as well. And they both had steady leadership in this community. When it comes to Election Day, only the citizens will be there in that ballot to make the choice. Now, it's interesting to me. I worked with Joe on both of his campaigns, and I was very happy with the work that he's done. But, you know, it's interesting because Marinovich wasn't an endorser of Mayor Reardon 8 years ago, and now they've come together, so that's interesting. But what I will say is this. As I move forward,
quickly.
You know, this was a surprise to me that he wasn't running for a fourth term. And during our long friendship, I haven't been saying to him, hey, I'm going to run for your job in 8 years, but this is a position I planned for a long time, and it just happened 4 years earlier than I expected.
Well, we are out of time here. I want to thank all of you for a very good and very civil debate. I should point out that another candidate forum will be presented tomorrow evening. I'm sorry, I think it's Wednesday night from 6 to 8:30. Am I right about that?
Yes.
At the Sumner?
7 to 8:30.
7 to 8:30, and where is that
District
one?
District 500, 59th and Parallel.
That's on Wednesday evening. There's one more on
Sumner Academy.
6 to 8:30 Monday tonight at the Sumner Academy Auditorium, 1610 North 8th in Kansas City, Kansas.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. And again, the primary election, February 26th, you can take part that way. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about how George Washington reconciled owning slaves with his beliefs and check in on new developments in blood donation. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.